Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. We are the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, November 4th. 2025. We're gonna have news, sports, we're gonna have our documentary on tourist attractions of Buenos Aires. We're gonna have the artist of today with a very popular Argentine rock band, basically the band that defined the genre of Latin rock in the 1990s, Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, and we'll have the DX supplement of every week. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are a DXer. This show airs on the short waves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, frequency 5850 kilohertz, and also streaming through our webpage rae.com.ar, plus our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. Digital RAE available for both Android and Apple phones. We're gonna start right away with some music, and we'll have something by Soda Stereo. These rock legends are preparing to return to the stage with a twist, because their show, titled Echos, is scheduled for March 21st, 2026 at the Movistar Arena in Buenos Aires. And this time, they are bringing, so they say, the late leader and frontman of the band, Gustavo Cerati, back into the live experience. Charlie Alberti on drums and Zeta Bosio on bass will perform live, while Cerati's voice, guitar and presence will be integrated through some cutting-edge technology that hasn't been revealed yet. And they clarify that this is not just archive video or a hologram, but something much more than that. This is what the organizers are saying, and there is a shroud of mystery surrounding this return of Soda Stereo. I'm talking about a band whose leader died more than 10 years ago. And they haven't replaced him. They are saying that they're playing with the original lineup. Details remain, as I said, closely guarded. Producers emphasize that this is not a tribute, not a hologram show, and not a film projected on screen. Tickets for the first date are now on sale, and while more shows are anticipated across Latin America, this Buenos Aires event will be the launching moment. We're going to play a song that for sure will sound that night, March 26 in Buenos Aires, the return of Soda Stereo in this mysterious way that we don't know what is it all about yet. The song is En la Ciudad de la Furia, Buenos Aires, the city of rage, the city of wrath, the city of fury. Well, while we listen to this, let me tell you that this is an unplugged version of the famous track En la Ciudad de la Furia from their unplugged in 1995. That's Cerati. Featuring Colombia's rock band's voice of the vocalist of a Colombian group called Aterciopelados. But we're gonna play the original version of this famous track, En la Ciudad de la Furia, by Soda Stereo. But well, I wanted to point out that was a little bit of the unplugged version, but the original version sounds like this.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina hacia el mundo.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Welcome to the DX Supplement, produced by Arnaldo Slaen, with interesting, useful information for DXers around the world. We're going to start with the news coming from Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia. Kyrgyz Radio 1 is currently on the air daily in Kyrgyz language, broadcasting from midnight to 1900 hours UTC on 4010 kHz.The station also airs 2 5-minute English programs, Mondays through Saturdays, at 01:15 and 04:15, beamed towards Central Asia with a power of 100 kilowatts. Reception reports are welcome at ktrksite@gmail.com. I repeat, ktrksite@gmail.com.Now, a sad announcement from Transworld Radio, which has informed listeners that starting last week, they ended all their shortwave transmissions from the island of Guam in the Pacific Ocean. For almost 50 years, Transworld Radio has carried religious broadcasts, mainly evangelical and biblical programs, to wide audiences across Asia, including China,North Korea, India, Myanmar, Vietnam, and other parts of the region. According to the station, the shutdown aims to ensure operational sustainability and does not represent a change in its mission or goals. Programming will continue via partner shortwave broadcasters such as Reach Beyond in Australia and FEBC, Far East Broadcasting Corporation in the Philippines.Future plans also include expanding to FM, AM, and digital platforms. Details on how to continue tuning in will be announced later, sources say. Now, moving on to Turkey, the Voice of Turkey has a new schedule for its Spanish broadcast. It can now be heard from 0200 hours to 0255 UTC time on 7265 kHz on 7280 kHz, directed toward Western Europe, Central and South America. There is also an additional transmission from 1730 to 1825 UTC time on 9495 kHz towards Europe. Reception reports are appreciated at Espanol, or Espanol because it's an N, that's ESPANOL, at trt.net.tr.From Indonesia, the Voice of Indonesia continues Spanish broadcasts on an irregular basis from 1700 hours to 1800 hours UTC on 4755 kHz aimed at Southeast Asia since 3325 kHz remains inactive. Although the station is not a very consistent verifier, reports can be sent to voilisteners@gmail.com, that's Voice of Indonesia initials, voilisteners@gmail.com. Now, some publication news. The Pacific Asian Listeners Guide, a well-known reference for radio across the Asia-Pacific region, first published in 2001, has released its latest update for June 2025.This edition consists of 380 pages in PDF format, listing thousands of medium wave and long wave stations from 44 countries, complete with transmitter, data, power, frequencies, call signs, schedules, and languages. The guide includes two indexes, one organized by frequency, another by country, plus a list of radio beacons.It is available for free download at www.radioheritage.com. From the United States, let's inform that Radio Marti has returned to the shortwaves, though with limited hours, Monday through Fridays, from 1400 hours to 2200 hours UTC time, on 11,860 kHz and 13,605 kHz, directed towards Cuba. Now we turn to broadcasting developments in Europe. The European Commission, and this has to do with Belgium, has launched a public consultation to review its 2009 broadcasting communication, which sets the rules for state aid to public service broadcasters. The goal is to gather feedback from stakeholders about whether the 2009 framework still meets its objectives, considering today's new technologies, media habits, and digital platforms. The consultation is open to all citizens, companies, and organizations with a deadline of January 14, 2026. Based on the responses, the Commission will publish a report summarizing its conclusions. In Germany, the Parliament of Saxony is set to vote on a broadcast reform treaty, which must be approved by all federal states. The reform seeks to modernize and streamline Germany's public broadcasters, ARD, ZDF, and Deutschlandradio, focusing more on information, education, culture, and social cohesion. A close vote is expected, with most major parties supporting the reform. Public broadcaster Radio Nacional de España, National Radio of Spain, will lead the official introduction of digital terrestrial radio, DAB+, in the country under a new royal decree. RNE, Radio Nacional de España, will manage a multiplex capable of carrying 12 radio services, including regional opt-outs. Coverage targets are ambitious. 50% of the population within 3 months, 70% within 1 year, and 85% within the years of within 2 years of the decree's implementation. Private stations currently operating on DAB will migrate to the new DAB Plus system without the need for new licenses. And finally, a continental event, the European Broadcasting Union's Mediterranean Summit, titled The Mediterranean, a Meeting Place, was recently held at the historic Palazzo Reale in Naples, Italy. The summit gathered representatives from 18 countries across Europe, Africa and Asia, including Radio Vatican, to discuss how public service media can foster dialogue, cultural exchange and peace in the Mediterranean region. EBU Director General Noel Curran opened the meeting, emphasizing the role of broadcasters in strengthening democratic values and social cohesion. A special panel on media and peace promotion was moderated by Alessandro Gisotti, Deputy Editorial Director of Vatican Media. And this brings us to the end of this week's edition of the DX Supplement, produced by Arnaldo Slain. Kind 73s.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina, mission chétier.
RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Coming up, a feature on the tourist attractions of Buenos Aires, part of a documentary called Dear Buenos Aires. Yesterday we played part one, today we'll play part two. But that will be after some folk music. This is a classic by Peteco Carabajal, one of his biggest songs, like Birds in the Air.
Thank you. pájaros en el aire, historia de cocina entre sus alas heridas de hambre. Las manos de mi madre saben qué ocurre por las mañanas cuando amasan la vida, horno de barro, pan de esperanza. Las manos de mi madre llegan al patio de temprano. Todo se vuelve fiesta cuando ellas vuelan junto a otros pájaros, junto a los pájaros que aman la vida y la construyen con el trabajo. Arde la leña, harina y barro, lo cotidiano se vuelve mágico, se vuelve mágico. Calientes en los inviernos, ellas se brindan cálidas, nobles, sinceras, limpias de todo. ¿Cómo serán las manos del que las mueve gracias al odio? Las manos de mi madre llegan al patio de temprano. Todo se vuelve fiesta cuando ellas vuelan junto a otros pájaros, junto a los pájaros que aman la vida y la construyen con el trabajo. Arde la leña, harina y barro, lo cotidiano se vuelve mágico, se vuelve mágico. La ra ra 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 la ra ra.
The final foundation of Buenos Aires was carried out by Juan de Garay on the present Plaza de Mayo, which has always been the essential center of the country's public affairs. During the colonial period, Plaza de Mayo was the civic and commercial heart of the city, constantly transited by authorities, businessmen, military men, and common people. It was also the place where criminals condemned to death were killed, and during the civil wars, the official scenery for many public executions. At all times, Plaza de Mayo has been the venue of mass meetings and demonstrations to celebrate as well as to support or criticize governments of different political parties. The plaza, which covers 2 hectares, underwent several modifications over time. Its present design dates back to 1900, when it was remodeled by the landscape designer Carlos Thays. In its center stands the first monument ever erected in Argentina, the Pirámide de Mayo, the May Pyramid, built to commemorate the first anniversary of the May Revolution. Originally, it was a simple hollow obelisk, 15 meters high, crowned by a ball as shown in old engravings and watercolors. Its present appearance is the result of changes made in 1857. It is around 19 meters high and encloses the first pyramid from 1811. It is topped by the Statue of Liberty, which shows a quiet attitude and broken chains at her feet, but is ready for defense, with a lance in the right hand and a shield resting on the left. The other monument on the square is dedicated to General Manuel Belgrano, creator of the national flag. Its pedestal is united by a granite surface to the mast where the flag waves. When the sun sets, the flag is lowered by a group of soldiers from the historic regiment Granaderos a Caballo, which, as custodians of the president of the nation, are responsible for guarding the neighboring government house. The central government headquarters are located in the so-called Casa Rosada, built on the site once occupied by the Fort of Buenos Aires, seat of governors and viceroys during the Spanish domain. Its history is rich in refurbishing and additions, but its present aspect is the result of joining two buildings separated by a passageway. Towards 1886, they were integrated by a large central arch. The building, with its characteristic pink color, combines great quantity of dissimilar architectural elements. Although its four fronts are different, the construction looks sober and attractive. Works carried out during recent years enabled the discovery of remnants from the original fort and the old customs warehouse on the sector facing the river. It is interesting to visit them, as well as the Museum of Precedence, located in the basement of the building. On the northern side of the square is the monumental neoclassical facade of the Metropolitan Cathedral. It was built on the ground indicated by the founder, Juan de Garay, but it is the seventh church built on that site. The first ones, made of mud and straw, deteriorated, being replaced by others, which in turn suffered damages, collapsed, and were demolished. The construction of the present cathedral was initiated in 1745. Its front, with columns which symbolize the 12 apostles, and a tympanum with a low relief producing the arrival of Jacob in Egypt, was finished in 1862. But the interior of the building continued to be modified. To its religious importance, the church adds the historical and aesthetic meaning of images, carvings, and sculptures that are framed by altars, cornices, ornaments, and paintings of a remarkable artistic value. One of the best examples is the tabernacle where the Holy Sacrament is shown in an exceptional work of art made of gold and silver, which is more than 2 meters long and weighs 110 kilos. On the front of the cathedral, attention is drawn by the Great Burner, where a flame burns forever. It is a memorial in homage to the greatest hero of Argentina, General José de San Martín, whose remains are in a mausoleum located in the interior of the church, and to the unknown soldier of the independence. Next to the cathedral and facing the Casa Rosada is the historical building which Argentines cherish most, the Metropolitan Cabildo, unmistakable for its colonial architecture, its whiteness, and its tower with a clock. It witnessed the May Revolution of 1810 that initiated the birth of Argentina and the collapse of the Spanish Empire in South America. The first Cabildo was built in 1609, but the final building was started in 1725. It had two floors and 11 arcades, making it 60 meters wide. In colonial times, its members met weekly in this building to take administrative, financial, construction, and judicial decisions related to Buenos Aires and its jurisdiction. During the independent period, it became the site of justice, and towards 1880, the modernizing fever caught Buenos Aires and led to the modification of its tower and its front. Afterwards, the opening of the Avenida de Mayo forced the demolition of three arcades on the northern side, and the diagonal Roque Sanz Peña eliminated another three in the southern part. Deprived of its tower, with only half of its original width and an Italian-style front, it was on the verge of completely disappearing. But in 1940, a conscientious restoration was initiated. The result was the present building. Narrower than the colonial one, it was rebuilt exactly as it looked in the 18th century. The museum inside exhibits plans, paintings, weapons, furniture, and other objects related to the building, plus the May Revolution and the British invasions, which Buenos Aires repelled in 1806 and 1807. Avenida de Mayo is the first luxury Buenos Aires could afford. Its opening in 1889 marked the end of the colonial city and the birth of a cosmopolitan and prosperous metropolis that attracted numerous immigrants. Born nearby the historical Cabildo, it symbolically connects the Casa del Gobierno with the Palacio del Congreso along 10 blocks flanked by buildings having a remarkably rich architecture. Since its inauguration, Avenida de Mayo has always been the place where elected presidents greet the people after assuming office, on their way from the National Congress to the Casa Rosada. The presence of enthusiastic crowds on such occasions has become customary. It also forms part of the itinerary followed by foreign authorities visiting the country. The tall buildings show the eclectic splendor of all styles, from the lively grace of Art Nouveau and the exuberance of the Italian Neo-Renaissance, to the geometric styles of Art Deco and the variances of Neoclassicism and Baroque. In its construction, a whole generation of professionals participated, mostly of European background. They applied the latest technologies of the time, characterized by the use of iron, electric power, and even elevators, together with the noble bronze and the traditional marble. Famous cafes and restaurants open their doors, and top-level hotels, luxurious shops, and large stores prospered on both sides. At that time, Buenos Aires dreamt of becoming the Paris of South America. But Avenida de Mayo clearly reminds us of the Gran Via de Madrid. To walk along the avenue at leisure, observing details enables the visitor to appreciate facades of great ornamental richness. Sculptures, flower pots, atlantes, and caryatids supporting corbels and balconies, friezes decorated with angels and cherubs, or modillions and moldings full of female and male masks make the tour into an attractive experience. On the 800 block is the Gran Café Tortoni. Founded in 1848, it is the most antique café of Buenos Aires and the first one to have outdoor cafés in the summer. It is a traditional gathering place for artists, journalists, musicians, and writers. And its large room, decorated in the early century style, exhibits numerous pictures and paintings in honor of former customers. It centralizes a diverse cultural activity. Poetry readings, as well as jazz and tango shows, take place in the basement. Regarding buildings, very few stand out as much as the Barolo. The architectural mass is treated as if it were a piece of sculpture rising on the avenida with the grandeur of a fortress. Constructed in 1923, the 100-meter-high building was once the tallest in the city with 24 floors, each with a different form. Its architect, Mario Palante from Milan, conceived all at monumental scale, as can be observed walking through the passage by which the Barolo connects Avenida de Mayo with the street Hipólito Yrigoyen. The passage has arcades covering three levels. From the vaults, engraved Latin aphorisms invite to reflection. The decorated floor has large glass flowers, and from the ceiling hangs a group of enormous chandeliers. Fantastic creatures sustain lamps of exuberant size. Talking about lights, however, nothing surpasses the enormous revolving beacon which crowns the building. 300,000 candles make it visible from Montevideo, Uruguay. The mass of the Barolo displays its sensual greatness at a short distance from the Plaza del Congreso. And when observed in detail, it is difficult not to get lost in the labyrinth drawn by its concrete curve. Avenida de Mayo ends at Plaza del Congreso, an open space of great hierarchy. It was constructed in 1910 to allow the right perspective to the monumental building where the sessions of the Chambers of Deputies and of Senators, the legislative power, take place. This square has one of the most artistic statues in the city, El Pensador, the Thinker, of Auguste Rodin, and a large monument formed by several groups of sculptures and various figures in bronze. It is a homage to the two congresses that set the basis on which Argentina was founded. The Assembly of 1813 and the Congress that declared independence in 1816. The central motif is the image of the Republic overcoming obstacles and reaching prosperity. It is accompanied by allegories of youth and genius, children rounds and animal figures, especially condors, ready to initiate their majestic flight. All of them are distributed among grand stairs, columns, and balustrades. The group is complemented by a large fountain with a four-horse carriage and the representation of rivers Paraná and Uruguay pouring their waters into a pool. The whole environment is dominated by the Congress building, a clear combination of Greek and Roman styles, which began to be constructed in 1898 on a design by architect Victor Miano, rich in ornamental details of bronze, granite, and marble. Its majestic structure is crowned by a great dome built with engraved bronze. On the southern part of the Plaza de Mayo begin the neighborhoods of San Telmo and Montserrat. Limits once precise, but have lost definition for the porteños of today, who gave them the generic name of Barrio Sur, the southern neighborhood. Since the colonial city was developed there, the area is the oldest of Buenos Aires, as evidenced by its old houses and numerous churches. The modern buildings have not diluted the ancient charm of the patios, the shadowy corridors, and the iron filigree of balconies. Many of those houses belonged to distinguished families until a terrible yellow fever epidemic, which devastated the city in 1871, provoked a massive exodus of the richest to the northern part of the city. The spacious houses were then partitioned and subdivided, giving origin to the conventillo, a name given to tenement houses where thousands of immigrant families shared their needs with the poorest local population. It was in that environment that the tango developed. The area constitutes today one of the most charming itineraries of the city, taking advantage of its old features, antique shops, restaurants, and tanguerias. San Telmo created an active nightlife. There are galleries entirely devoted to the sale of souvenirs, antiques, and curious objects. Every Sunday at the small Plaza Dorrego in the heart of San Telmo, there is a fascinating fair of antiques, curious objects, and artisan works, enriched by the presence of outdoor musicians and dancers who play and dance tango for local and foreign visitors. Another corner where the charm of the old Buenos Aires can be appreciated is the neighborhood of La Boca, which was born as a sort of independent settlement around the small port to become later, towards 1880, a colony of Genovese immigrants. With high sidewalks to protect the houses from the frequent floods affecting the area in the past, its streets run between houses made of wood and sheet metal, painted with vivid colors. Two enormous bridges over the Riachuelo dominate the sky of La Boca from above. The dark profile of the old transporter bridge, true representative of the iron architecture, is an irresistible temptation for those who love the art of photography. The presence of old naval stores, warehouses, and shipyards, complemented by ships out of service, anchored in the oily Riachuelo, take the visitor back to 1940. The landscape and its protagonists were shown by the paintings of various artists, but none reached the level of Benito Quinquela Martin, whose sensitivity reflected the life of La Boca and vigorously promoted his cultural activities. The school museum, Pedro de Mendoza, was built on land donated by the painter. In that building, there is a theater and a museum of fine arts with works of numerous artists. On the third floor, Quinquela Martin lived and worked during more than 30 years, and some of his most important paintings are exhibited there. Walking along the street Caminito, it is possible to appreciate the significance of artworks as an expression of the spirit of this neighborhood. Caminito is a diagonal street, used to be crossed by trains of the now closed down cargo railway. Sculptures and mural paintings are exhibited. Painters and artisans offer their works to the public with the colorful frame of the neighboring houses. That passage received the name Caminito, pays tribute to one of the best-known tangos by Juan de Dios Filberto. It is therefore quite natural to play and dance tango there, even with visitors who get involved. Visitors can very soon realize that although in Buenos Aires there are restaurants satisfying all tastes and habits, the Italian and Spanish influence on the gastronomy of the porteños is very strong. And they will be certainly surprised by the high figures of beef consumption. At present, Argentines are in the process of diversifying their diet, but they continue to be the greatest beef consumers in the world. This becomes easier to understand after visiting a parrilla and looking at the variety of cuts and derivatives being grilled with firewood or coal. Porteños also love to prepare asado at home, and cherish to imagine a sunny Sunday chatting with friends or relatives while the beef is grilled on the barbecue installed on the yard or the balcony, completing the party with one of the delicious red wines produced in the country. To prepare and eat the asado is a sort of ceremony, and the same happens with the mate, the other great national custom. Mate, a type of herbal tea, is taken in the family with friends and among work companions. And it is mandatory to invite the newcomer. To heat water, put the yerba in the mate, a gourd, place a metal type of straw in the correct way, and invite those present following a formal order is a ritual that was already practiced in Buenos Aires even before Argentina was born. So old is the custom that mates and bombillas are among the most remarkable pieces of handicraft produced by colonial silver and goldsmiths. Competing with them, only knives, which constituted the typical instrument and weapon of the gauchos and natives of Buenos Aires. Anyone can verify that on the walls of Buenos Aires, there is an army of creatures watching the passers-by. There are thousands of faces fixed on doors, lintels, and facades whose immutable expression is only altered by the different incidents of light. They may be masculine and severe, or feminine and delicate, of classical style or stylized modernism, peaceful and happy or terribly furious. Very often repeated on adjacent windows or located in cement medallions in cameo style. Devils, chimeras, and mythological creatures with claws and membranous wings are also present in many buildings, revealing the tormented creativity of some molding designers. For relief of sensitive spirits, their presence is surpassed by the number of celestial armies represented by angels and cherubs. They appear around modillions, displayed the plenitude on their innocent beauty on the frames of windows, or play and frolic in merry congregation. Animals also participate in the ornamental contest without omitting genders or species. Parrots, pecking fruit at balconies, serpents slithering up the walls, snails traveling over the fronts, and even enormous bees sitting on the upper part of doors. Eagles and condors display the power of the winged world supporting corbels and balconies. But if there is an animal that Buenos Aires has adopted as decorative pet, it is the lion. It may appear discouraging any ill-intended moderner with a fierce expression. Sometimes it decorates a locket, holding a ring with its fauces. It is common to find them with forcibly human expression, occasionally laughing openly, and at times trapped in human boredom. They can even be found sleeping, resembling shirking cats rather than jungle beasts. As time passed, the ornamental fever, which invaded the architecture of Buenos Aires from 1870 to 1930, became an exceptional entertainment for those who take pleasure in discovering details and imagining stories. To intensely enjoy this activity, it is only necessary to walk slowly around the city, watching the building fronts carefully. Buenos Aires shows its most cosmopolitan aspect in the city, a name given to the 12 blocks located between the streets Rivadavia, Corrientes, Florida, and 25 de Mayo. The concentration of banks, financial offices, exchange brokers, and business corporations is the largest in the country. The area has numerous buildings with modern architecture designed to offer an image of opulence and solidity. The banking and financial bustle typical of this sector, crowded by rushing people, becomes commercial activity in the nearby Florida, the first pedestrian thoroughfare of Buenos Aires. Plants, flower shops, bookstores, music shops, kiosks selling national and foreign publications, art galleries, leather shops, and other elegant boutiques are characteristic of Florida. It has always been a sort of international window for Argentina, and its numerous shopping malls compete offering all kinds of novelties within a casual and attractive framework. The Galerías Pacífico, located at the 700 area of Florida, with access from four different streets, are one of the most traditional and, at the same time, most updated places in Buenos Aires. They date back to the end of the 19th century, when there was a project to build a center that would surpass the Galerías Vittorio Emanuele of Milan. The works were partially carried out, and the installations became successively a cultural center, fine arts museum, office building, and commercial center. Their present appearance is the result of recycling, which modernized them entirely, preserving their rich ornamentation and increased the value of the exceptional paintings on the ceiling. The central dome, divided in sectors corresponding to each one of the four entrances, was painted by Antonio Berni, Lino Eneas Pilimbergo, Juan Carlos Castanino, and Demetrio Urrochua. These frescoes and mural paintings are the most important of Argentina. The Galerías are today a large shopping mall, extending to three levels connected by stairs, corridors, and escalators. They have more than 150 shops, including tea shops, cinemas, and restaurants. A vast sector devoted to cultural activities has special rooms for training courses, art exhibitions, conferences, and artistic shows.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, mien xiang shi jie.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
So we didn't have time today for the artists of the day. We'll do that tomorrow and play plenty of songs by Los Fabulosos Cadillacs. But as a preview, we'll have a song by them, one of their early hits from the mid-1980s. Mi novia se cayó en un pozo ciego. My girlfriend fell in a cesspit or a cesspool. Fabulosos Cadillacs on RAE.
Caminando por
end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. Tomorrow we'll have the artists of the day and introduce Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, from which we just played Mi Novia Se Cayó en un Pozo Ciego. Walter Danesi was our sound technician for today. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening to us on the short waves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. Hasta mañana.